This is Laura Dierdl with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
I'm thrilled today to be joined by Jeff Freda, Vice President for Surgical Services at Montefiore Medical Center. Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Laura. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you and your audience.
Now, I know we've got a lot to talk about, and it'll be really exciting to learn more about what you're doing at Montefiore Medical Center. But before we do that, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. So again, I currently serve as the Vice President for Surgical Services for Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx in New York City. We are the primary teaching facility for Albert Einstein College of Medicine. By training, I'm an anesthesiologist with almost 30 years of clinical experience. But the last 20 years of my career has been focused on operations management in acute care hospitals, specifically running operating rooms, procedure suites. I've also had the opportunity to run a large physician PC group. At the moment, I manage a team of more than 800 associates. We perform close to 60,000 procedures a year at Montefiore. Let's see what else. In the past, I've worked for four different academic medical centers in the New York City area. So I've been able to appreciate various ways to do things, various systems and practices for accomplishing a similar body of work. I found that all these places have the same problems. It's just to a matter of degrees, you know, some greater, some lesser, depends on where you go. But we're all struggling to solve the same problems. I'd have to say that the most rewarding part of what I do is when I have an opportunity to be a disruptor. I like to look for opportunities where I can tackle age-old problems with newer, different approaches.
Well, that's great to hear. And certainly it's a great time for that in healthcare right now. I'm wondering, could you tell me a little bit about the perioperative services that you oversee at Montefiore Medical Center? I understand there's been some expansions, and so I was wondering if you could talk about how your responsibilities, have made you successful.
Well, we've got many performance improvement projects going on at Montefiore, but I think there are one or two that are really transformational, and I'd love to talk about those. The first one I'd like to talk about is what we call our surgical navigation program. This is an initiative that was created to standardize the process for preparing elective surgery patients. And by elective surgery, I mean those patients who come in from home on the day of surgery. So the issue is at Montefiore, like many large academic medical centers or even large community hospitals, we have a lot of surgeons who operate in our operating rooms. At Montefiore, we have over 300 different surgeons, which means there are 300 different ways to prepare elective surgery patients to come to our operating rooms. And 300 different ways to do it leads to highly varied levels of patient preparedness on the day of surgery. And unfortunately, it also leads to a lot of frustration for patients who couldn't get all their questions answered. And ultimately, this high degree of variability is what resulted in a day of surgery cancellation rate of over 9%. And that's really almost twice what it should be for a medical center like ours. So after analyzing, why we had so many day of surgery cancellations, we kept coming to some common reasons. And again, it had to do almost always with the way that the surgeons prepared patients, either their differences or completeness or how they did it. And we'd always end up with a different result on the day of surgery. So what we've done differently in the past 18 months at Montefiore is to design and to validate a new paradigm that consolidates those 300 different surgeon preparation pathways into a single common pathway, thereby eliminating all that variability. So what we did in our new surgical navigation program, we designed it so that our surgeons no longer have to do any of the patient prep work. All the surgeon has to do now is enter the order for surgery into Epic. And then our surgical navigation team takes over from there. And I got to tell you, it's been a real crowd pleaser for our surgeons and their offices. They really appreciate that somebody else is doing this piece of the work. Anyway, the surgeon enters the order into Epic, our EMR, and that's the notification for our surgical navigation team to get started. And that's what they do. As soon as that order is entered, our surgical navigation team takes over, and we start the process with a triage system. So our partners in the anesthesiology department have created a machine learning algorithm to streamline a triage mechanism to figure out, well, which patients really need additional medical evaluation and optimization. Previously, we were sending lots of patients to internists for what's traditionally called medical clearance. And in this new paradigm, we figured out, you know what, a lot of them don't really need to go there. So again, the process starts as soon as the surgeon enters the order in Epic. The anesthesiologists do their triage and figure out, you know, who needs to go where. And then other members of our surgical navigation team start coordinating patient visits. So if they have to go see an anesthesiologist, they schedule that visit. If they need to see an internist after an anesthesiologist, or need to see a cardiologist, pulmonologist, endocrinologist, our surgical navigation team helps schedule all those appointments for the patients. Previously, that wasn't the case. So our patients were running around trying to figure out how to get all this done. Obviously, a big dissatisfier for lots of patients. Besides the medical evaluation and optimization with our anesthesiology partners, our surgical navigation team performs many other functions that the surgeon's offices used to have to do. And some of the nursing pieces as well that go into preparation for surgery. So the surgical navigation team, they call patients weeks in advance to complete a nursing assessment. They coordinate patient transportation for those in need. They refer patients who score high on our anxiety questionnaire to a team of social workers and psychologists. They provide patients with education materials about their upcoming surgery. And the team even obtains the financial pre-authorizations for both the professional and the technical fees. So really, we've taken everything out of the surgeon's hands and put it into a team of specialists. And that's all this team does all day long, every day. And that's why they're specialists, and that's why they're able to be so good at what they do. What do the results look like? Again, 18 months into this, we've been able to cut our day of surgery cancellation rate by 40%. That's a dramatic improvement, I would argue. And I think anybody who's tried to tackle this problem before can appreciate just what great progress that is. But not only have we reduced the day of surgery cancellation rate, but by taking this work from the surgeons and their office practices, we've been able to unburden them so they can actually see more patients in their offices. So their throughput is greater now too. And for our system, that's what we want to do, right? We want to be able to get all the patients through the system that actually need the care. So let's see, in addition to that, I mentioned before about internists who previously had done all these medical clearance evaluations. By dramatically reducing the need for that, we freed up our internists and other medical specialists to be able to have time to see other patients who really need them. So it's really kind of unburdened our entire system, surgeons and, like I said, medical specialists. And I think the last point in terms of success here is by creating the single point of contact for our patients, our surgical navigation coordinator, you know, like I said, reaches out and schedules all these things with the patients. We've been able to incorporate certain technology solutions and give them that one point of contact. And this has dramatically improved the patient experience. So we're really excited about this one. Like I said, we've gotten great results. The providers like it, the patients like it. And it's really helped us in the OR. It's reduced those day of surgery cancellations, which many people know can be very disruptive. And it's also helped our bottom line, right? When we fill those holes in the OR schedule, you have greater productivity, and you know, finances are a reality of healthcare. So, you know, we're trying to do our part to make sure that the operating room is as efficient and productive as it can be. So those are really the improvements we've seen with that project.
Yeah, those are fascinating results, and certainly really interesting to hear from you. Now, I'm wondering, I know Montefiore really recently moved from the traditional block time allocation to block time utilization as well. Could you tell us a little bit about that transition and some of the lessons that you've learned along the way?
Sure. This is one of my favorite topics. We actually, it's a little bit different than what you stated there. We didn't move to block utilization. We actually moved away from block utilization. I think most hospitals still do it that way. I'm very familiar with lots of places. As I've mentioned, I've worked at a number myself, and that is the most common way to allocate operating room time is, you know, to give it out to surgeons or service lines. And then the requirement is, you know, as long as you maintain a certain percentage utilization, you get to keep that block. And like I said, very traditional way to do it, very commonplace. Lots of places still do that. But we found that this wasn't really working, especially at one of our campuses. So what we did was we designed this particular performance improvement initiative to increase the utilization of our operating rooms and also to provide greater surgeon access to the OR schedule. I say this is one of my favorite topics. It's something that's, I've been part of trying to figure out better ways to do block allocation or get the most out of your OR resources for years and years. But the other thing I have to say is I've seen a lot of people try to tackle this. And I've seen many, many OR time reallocation projects over the years. The one thing they all have in common is a very high morbidity and mortality for the proponents of the new system. Anytime you mess with surgeon block time, it's a very touchy subject. But, you know, our situation was that we had a very underperforming OR, so we needed to do something. Historically at Montefiore, operating room time had been allocated as block. So 100% of the OR time was allocated as block time. There was no other type of time. And again, this is very commonplace. And again, we had done it just like lots of other places where gave out that time. And as long as your utilization of your block, you the surgeon, as long as your block utilization was 60% or greater, you got to keep the time. The problem was at one of our places, surgeons were complaining all the time that they couldn't get their cases on the schedule. Yet when we looked at our OR utilization at this one particular campus, it remained well below 50%. You know, that's really not good at all. So how is it that we're not using the ORs, the utilization is below 50%, yet the surgeons still say, I can't get on the OR schedule. So we had a real problem there. And trying to work through this through our traditional block allocation methodology and utilization review just wasn't getting us where we needed to be. And I would say anyone who's familiar with block utilization knows how difficult it can be to understand block utilization reports. And it can be even more difficult to convince a block holder to relinquish their time. So anyway, that's a little bit of the background, and I'm sure it's a problem that many of your listeners face too. Underutilization of your resources and your current block allocation system is not getting you what you need. Anyway, in April of 2023, we began a trial of an OR time allocation system that is quite different. In this system, any surgeon can schedule any type of case on any day of the week. And when I say any type of case, I mean elective, urgent, or emergent. So regardless of what the surgeon's need was, there would be time available. And in this system, we don't even look at block utilization. I'm sure some of your listeners will listen to that and go, how could that be? I'll tell you how we do it. So again, we don't care what the utilization is. What we do is every 3 months, we look at individual surgeon case volume and also the case minutes, because obviously some cases take longer to do than others. So we look at volume, case minutes, and an associated turnover time. Turnover time is longer with bigger cases than it is with shorter cases. So anyway, we try to factor in an appropriate turnover time. And then what we do with the case volume, the case minutes, and the turnover time, based upon 3 months previous activity, is we calculate approximately how much time a surgeon needs to do their usual book of business. And that gets us in a ballpark of, how many OR days a month do you really need to get this work done? So that's how we started allocating the time. And with this new methodology, we found we didn't need to give away 100% of the OR time. We only needed to give away about 75% of the OR time. And we gave that time to the surgeons who bring us the most new business. And I refer to new business as stuff that wasn't already in the house. So ambulatory surgery is new business. Same day admit patients, that's new business. We don't consider patients who came through the ED or who are already somewhere in the house. We don't consider that new business. We call those inpatients. So anyway, the new block time was all for new business. So 75% of the OR schedule was dedicated to new business. The remaining 25% was available for a couple of different things. One is for add-on cases, and that's all the inpatients I just mentioned, because every acute care hospital has them. Some have more than others. We have quite a few at Montefiore, but we made time available every single day with an add-on room. So any surgeon that had an add-on case, meaning urgent or emergent, could book into that add-on room. We also had a little bit of time left over for something we called open block. An open block is also for new business, but it's for overflow from, if a surgeon already had reserved time in their name, but they needed more, they could book into this open block. If there was a surgeon who didn't get awarded block time in their own name, but they had an AM surge or same day admit case, some type of new business to do. Well, this open block time was available for them. So again, open block 5 days a week, add on room 5 days a week, and reserve block 5 days a week. Since we've done that, the surge in complaints about access have dramatically diminished. And our OR suite utilization has increased by 6% so far, with the gains increasing each month. So we're making better use of the resources, whether it's our anesthesiology providers, our nurses, our technicians, materials handlers, all the folks that go into supporting an OR. Now we're getting more productivity out of the same staff and same resources. And I think one of the true testaments to the success of the system is not just the increase in case volume and minutes and suite utilization, but the fact that we've had requests from surgeons at other campuses to incorporate some of the new features of this model into our other campuses. So we've already begun sharing some of those elements of this new time allocation model. And I like I said, I think that speaks to a lot to the success of the project.
Well, that's really great to hear. And, you know, another success story. Thank you for spelling all that out for us, and really cool to hear all the different things you're doing with the operating rooms. Now, before we wrap up here, could you talk about what you're most excited about right now and what makes you nervous?
I think the ever-changing playing field in healthcare, it requires all of us to work both harder and smarter. And I would say, especially in a community such as ours, I mentioned earlier that, you know, we have a patient population that's economically and socially challenged. So, you know, we need to be creative to figure out ways to improve how we provide access to care. So I think there are many exciting advances in technology, and whether that's in communications, predictive analytics, AI-powered care assistance, the explosion of wearable medical devices, all of these present opportunities for us to reinvent healthcare and to better serve our communities. So that's what I see as exciting. The marketplace continues to change all the time. And while there are many challenges and many things to be excited about, I think a lot of these new technology solutions are really going to change the way we deliver care. And you also asked me about what makes me nervous. I guess I would have to say, I've observed over my many years in healthcare that healthcare is a very risk-averse industry. Lots of people are afraid to take risks. And I would say what makes me nervous is healthcare organizations that are overly risk-averse and unwilling to risk failure when it comes to innovation. The market's changing too fast for any of us to stand still. I guess I would say that, you know, the obstacles and challenges in healthcare are and always will be limitless. But I don't really see them as anxiety provoking or, you know, making me nervous. I prefer to see them more as opportunities to innovate.
I love that. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been such a fun and fascinating conversation, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you, Laura.